You know, with the recent events that we've all listened to, that some countries send money to other countries and they fund other countries' wars, and here's a little history trivia. France funded the American Revolution. They were one of them. There was, I think, Morocco was one, and the other one, I can't remember, it's case of my mind. But they funded it to the point of their bankruptcy. So much so that it forced King Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette to leave the country, which fueled the French Revolution. You know, and that brings me more down to, I have my chicken coop. Most of you know that I have a radio, and it's a talk show radio, and it's a religious program. That keeps the coyotes away. But while I'm doing work over there, there was a psychologist that came on. They were interviewing a psychologist. I didn't get his name because I was busy, but he said something pretty interesting. He said, the population is divided into three types of people. He said, the innocent, the ignorant, and the wise. The innocent know nothing, and they don't claim to know anything, so they're innocent. The ignorant, which 80% of the populations fall under, claim they know something, but they don't. And the wise don't say that they know anything, but they do know a lot. The wise will listen to the ignorant say, the sky is purple. And they say, if the sky is purple for you, that's fine with me. I don't worry. Because it's not important to them. Which I'm bringing into, coming in, it says, if you describe someone as naive or innocent, you think they lack experience or so expect things to be easy or people to be honest or kind. Does that ring a bell? It doesn't have to be like young people. It's just someone without that much experience. For example, it's naive to think that teachers are always tolerant. Another example is, it's naive to think that I have a 2-ton record that can go over a field that it's been raining all night and I can go in it without getting stuck. There was an engineer in his field office, and he was watching some laborers, and they were putting a plant gate, and it was they had to put the post in a position that they couldn't get any equipment to dig the hole. The hole is around 2 by 2 by 4 feet deep. So they had laborers going. And the engineer looked and he said, man, they've been all better 2 hours on this one hole. He said, surely it's, why is it taking so long? So he hops on his truck and he drives over to it. He says, why are you taking so long to dig a hole? And he said, well, we've got, it's caliche, and after the caliche, we've got hard clay. You know, it's not going to be easy. Oh, come on. And the laborers had handed him the shovel and said. So he went in and he hit, and it looked like concrete. Like most of us that have dug holes can testify, it's almost like concrete. And he hit it, and then he finally got maybe this much dirt on the point of his shovel. And after which, he gave the shovel back to the laborer, got on his truck, and left. See, you don't have to be young to be naive. You'd be surprised how many people have never dug a hole. How about us, brethren? How about us in the faith? Are we naive on certain spiritual concepts? That's the title of my sermonette, Being Spiritually Naive. Well, hopefully, we don't believe everything we are told. Hopefully we are like the Bereans in Acts 17, chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. You don't have to turn there, but it says here, the Bereans were examining the scriptures daily to see if, in parentheses, the things that Paul and Silas preached were so. Now, if you examine, the word there is examine. Examine is not just merely reading it and identifying it. And examining is not just memorizing it. Examining is, when you examine, those of us that have troubleshooted an engine that doesn't start, or a weed eater or a lawnmower, you look at it and say, we got a problem. You have to break it down and see what the problem is. That's examining, and that's what the Bereans did. Now, which is more interesting, Bereans weren't just regular people. That's why the Bible identified Bereans. Because during biblical times, only 3% of the population were literate. That's why you had scribes. And that's why kings had somebody to read something to. Because there was a very, very small population that knew any, that read or read or write. I say this because in our previous affiliations, we listened to people that talked things or said things that weren't true, just because they said it. And if some of you might remember, there were some things saying, well, shrimp have scales. And you shake your head, and things that were said, they were double-minded. They danced around Leviticus 11. It says, I don't believe they were noble. Being spiritually naive is an unconscious act of people who fail to appropriate the truth of God's word. James once wrote, be doers of the word, not just hearers. Be doers mean we have to validate what I say and what anything that is written. That's James 1:22. Let's go to Proverbs 14, verse 50. Follow with me. Proverbs 14, verse 50. It says, and this is the English Standard Version. It says, the simple, remember the simple, the naive, believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. We've got to think and we've got to pay attention. Because our adversary, the devil, that's what his specialty is. Evil. That's not our specialty, brother. A biblical example of being naive is when Jesus said to the Pharisees. Now here's another example. He's quoted as saying, you err because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. That's found in Matthew 22, verse 29. The operative word here is no. We're going back to examining. There's something that we can say. I've had, at work, we had several people at work that would come to me, and they'd buy, just off the top of head, Psalms. One of the books, I can't remember what chapter of Psalms, just spill it out. And they'd impress me on what, you know, what Revelation said and this said. But do they know it? I don't think so. They just memorized it. We've got to know the scriptures. That's what Jesus said. He was telling this Pharisee that. He wasn't telling people that didn't know how to read or write. He was telling the Pharisee. Another biblical example that as being spiritually naive, we make promises to God that all of a sudden it's hard to keep. Like Jephthah in Judges 11, remember? He made a promise to God. He said, if you give me the victory over the Ammonites, I'll sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my house. And I'm pretty sure everyone knows the story. It was his daughter that came out. I'm going to give you some examples, or some pointers, I guess you'd call it, so we can know what to do or what to lean on to keep us from being spiritually naive. Now remember, naive, we make mistakes naive, it has a way of haunting us. First, one of the first things is to avoid errors is consult with God through prayer. Do we have daily scripture? Do we scrape scripture reading and prayer? And if we still are trying to find, let's consult within ourselves, get some wise counsel. Another pointer is understand, that's the next point, understand that God cannot be manipulated, like I gave you in the previous example. If I do this, God, can I get this? Or do this for me and I'll promise I'll do this. No. God doesn't work that way. Another point is, do not run ahead of God in your desires to make a name for yourself. And I'm going to put an example here. In chapter 20 of the book of Numbers in verse 9, Moses did just that. In verse 8, God told Moses, he said, speak to the rock to get water. If you want, the nation of Israel wants water, speak to it. But no. What did Moses do? He had to add sensationalism, or let's just say political theater. Remember, it's on that. He raised his arm with the staff in his hand, and he probably shouted and struck the rock twice. God didn't say to do that. It's just speak to it. That cost him. And you say, well, that was pretty, you know, harsh of God to do that to Moses. But wait a minute. You know, he was a leader of people. He spoke to God directly. So the higher you are, the more responsibility you get. And the consequences are yours. And again, ask God. Another point is ask God for wisdom. How to talk to people that, or a situation you're in. How to talk out of it or justify your actions diplomatically. Not just say, well, aren't you celebrating Christmas? No, because it's pagan. My daughter did that once, and I got a call from the teacher. You know? We ask God for wisdom so we can get diplomacy. And then also ask God for mercy, because these people in this world don't know. Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Another one is trust in God with all your heart. Don't rely on your own judgment. I think I can do it. Say, no, don't do that. Let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 16. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. And it says here, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Don't try to go toe-to-toe with people from not from our faith, brethren. They'll tear you apart. It was once said, it takes a wolf to kill a wolf. And we're not wolves. Because right here, Matthew said we're going to be sent among wolves. But God will call on a wolf if he sees that we are in trouble. Don't be surprised if a wolf comes to our aid. Because remember that. Again, don't be spiritually naive. Let's go to Proverbs 27, verse 12. English Standard Version, I guess. In verse 12, it says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So when we seek God's protection, let him do the next step. He will bring it. Because Dr. Luke said in chapter 16, verse 8, don't try to go against children of this world. You'll never make it. They can outfox us because all they do is focus on evil, on how to get away things, how to meander away, wiggle away from trouble, or if he gets in trouble or he breaks the law, he's trying to figure out how to get out of it. And we're not. We don't do that. Brethren, let us not lack experience, and let us not expect things to be easy or people to be honest or kind. This world has wolves, but we have the power of a sound mind. That means a lot, brethren. And the wisdom of God to help maneuver our ways through it. Meditate always, pray, study the scriptures, and do not forsake the assembly of ourselves. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.